WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The biggest trend in film comedy is the ensemble piece. Two new ones are Suburbia and Waiting for Guffman. Our film critic John Powers finds one tart and the other sweet and tells us which he enjoyed more.
When I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, the theater screens were filled with stories about the soullessness of suburban life. America's suburbs have changed a lot since then, but not the movies, which never tire of condescending to the burbs. The new movie, Suburbia, focuses on an unlikely group of 20-year-old friends who spend one whole night hanging around a convenience store run by a Pakistani couple. There's the loutish Buff, the faded athlete Tim, fresh-faced Suze who dreams of New York, and lonely Bibi, awash in self-destruction. On this particular night, the group's tired routine is broken by the sudden appearance of their old classmate Pony, a one-time geek who's now on tour as a rock star. Pony cometh like the Iceman, his presence unmasking his friend's illusions. Suburbia began as a play by Eric Bogosian, who's been widely hailed for exposing the scabrously funny underbelly of the American dream. Beats me why, Bogosian creates caricatures unsullied by any genuine social observation. The young people in this movie aren't really mid-American suburban kids with homes and families and shared experiences. No, they're a New York performance artist's idea of suburban kids. Bogosian either turns his characters into easy targets that the audience can snicker at, or, in what is obviously his idea of empathy, he makes them pathetic. He always lets us feel superior to the people we're watching, as when Buff explains what he'd do if he were a rock star.
If I were in his shoes every morning, I'd get up singing, man. I'd do my workout, take a shower, followed by a hearty breakfast, steak and eggs, wash down with a pot of hot coffee, six-pack of Coors Light. Then I'd order my bodyguard to go find my babe, who would appear decked out in her all-black leather Victoria's Secret custom-made bodysuit. So I'd like have to chew off all her clothes until she was completely nude. Except she'd have these amazing dragon tattoos all over her body and pierced nipples with little gold peace signs hanging from them. And then she'd take out this half ounce of blow, we'd snap out a few Mongo lines, vaporize a few million brain cells, for about an hour, then spend the rest of the morning trashed watching Gilligan.
Suburbia is partly redeemed by Richard Linklater, who's best known for Slackers and Before Sunrise, who directs the story with classic fluidity and directness. Unlike Bogosian, Linklater understands these characters, and he cares for them all, whether they're philosophizing like dime store Nietzsche's or braying obscenely into the beery night. This sympathy lets him earn a series of uniformly terrific performances, most notably from Giovanni Ribisi, who plays the self-conscious Jeff, the moral hinge on which the action swings. Still, Olestra isn't olive oil, however you package it, and in the end there's something deeply phony about Suburbia. It was made by a director who loves people, but written by a man who holds them in contempt. There's no such contradiction in the wonderfully silly Waiting for Guffman, a fake documentary made by Christopher Guest, one of the masterminds behind This is Spinal Tap, where he played guitarist Nigel Tufnell. Here he stars as Corky St. Clair, an obviously gay and just as obviously talentless theater director transplanted from Manhattan to the small town of Blaine, Missouri. As part of Blaine's sesquicentennial celebration, Corky's staging a musical about the town's history. His cast includes various local luminaries, played by such scene-stealers as Eugene Levy, Fred Willard, Catherine O'Hara, and the scintillating Parker Posey, the queen of low-budget movies. Although Corky and company long to attract New York talent scouts, their dreams of the big time keep bumping up against reality, as when Corky goes to the city council to ask for more money.
What I need from you, because you're the bosses of the town, essentially, and I know that, is... This is so hard. I mean, there's nothing easy about this. You know, this is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like. I need more money.
Wow.
We watched you.
Need? Steve's right. How much are you thinking on now?
Okay. What I need is $100,000.
Oh, Corky. Brother.
He's not kidding.
Corky, our entire budget for the entire year is $15,000 for everything, and that includes swimming.
Compared to Suburbia, Waiting for Guffman is ragged filmmaking. But it made me laugh from beginning to end. And more important, it never falls into meanness. Although Corky and the citizens of Blaine are comical figures, the movie never mocks them. In fact, the genial offbeat tone recalls some of the Czech comedies of the 1960s, which loved their characters because of their follies, not despite them. This is never more obvious than in the handling of Corky, who's so blatantly queenie that I worried he might become an extended fag joke. But the effect is just the opposite. Guest plays Corky with such tenderness and precision that we come to see him as an adorably foolish dreamer, one made all the more enjoyable because the people of Blaine have no inkling that he's gay. While Waiting for Guffman never reaches the inspired heights of This is Spinal Tap, I still recommend it highly, as much for its gentleness as its oddball humor. At a time when most film comedies are filled with snideness, cruelty, or people breaking wind, this movie's sweetness is an unexpected treat, like being herded onto a crowded airplane and finding that you've been seated next to a dear friend you haven't seen for years.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.